Es Hanan. The tell a story about this kid who was in school, and the teacher says to him, they're learning about proper grammar. So the teacher says, how do you say I ate something in the past tense? So the kid says, I'll tell you how to say it. It's et. So the teacher says, et? How would you say that in a sentence? So he says, well, the way I say it is, yesterday I ate an apple. So the teacher says, it's not et, it's eight. So the kid says, well, maybe it was eight apples that I ate. So that's my little joke for today. And in today's Torah portion, we have the first paragraph of the Shema. First paragraph of the Shema. Many, many concepts in the first paragraph of Shema. Of course, it begins with belief in Hashem, unity of Hashem. We speak about that in Tanya. And what does it mean, the unity of Hashem? But one of the central sentences in the first paragraph of the Shema is a very famous sentence. It says, "Vishinantam levanecha vidibarta bam." You should teach Torah to your children, vidibarta bam, and you should say the words of Torah yourself. You should study Torah yourself. So there's a number of beautiful observations that immediately come to mind when we take a look at this sentence, Vishinantam levanecha. First, teach to your children. That's the way the sentence is structured. Then, vidibarta bam, and also study yourself. The first and most apparent observation is that this is one of the places in the Torah where it becomes clear that if we don't do something ourselves, our children are never going to follow us. And if we don't have our children involved, it's never going to happen for ourselves either. The rest of the Torah, we understand there are other mitzvahs that actually talk about bringing your children to the temple, to the Beit HaMikdash, once in 7 years for the purpose of having inspiration. That's called a Hakhel mitzvah. Parenthetically, this year is one of those 7 years in the order of the 7 year periods. It's a Hakhel year, a year of gathering when adults and children are supposed to gather together and provide inspiration for everybody together. But that's once in 7 years. The Shema we say every single day. The mitzvah actually is to recite the Shema twice a day. And in twice a day we say the Shema, we say Vishinantam Levanecha. Teach your children, then vidibarta bam, speak yourself. Worry about your kids and worry about yourself. First your kids and then yourself. When we take a look in the code of Jewish law called the Shulchan Aruch is the book, as you may be familiar, that if we want to know how to act as a Jew, what to do, we take a look. There is a book that's written. It's called the Code of Jewish Law, the Shulchan Aruch. This was written by the great sage Rabbi Yosef Karo, who lived in the 1500s. It is not the first version of set up the way the Jewish law has been given to us in an orderly fashion, but its first version arguably is the Rambam, and the Rambam was written in the 1200s. So those books, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, when they talk about the obligation to study Torah, that an individual Jew has to study Torah, they begin the chapter of that obligation by telling us that we have an obligation to teach our children Torah. And only after they talk about the obligation of teaching your children Torah, then they go in and talk about what is the obligation and how does it extend and so on of studying Torah yourself. And the question, obvious question is, why would the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, where you're telling the laws, now this is not a book that's written just for inspiration, it's written to have the laws, to know what to do, what not to do. Seemingly, it should start with the obligation to study Torah in general, and then it should go and talk about who you have to study Torah with and how you have to teach Torah. It should start that there is an obligation to study, to learn Torah. The Rebbe asks this question, and the Rebbe gives a very beautiful answer as part of an entire discussion on this concept of studying Torah and having our children involved and having ourselves involved in a childlike way. The Rebbe explains as follows. There is a difference in approach and in philosophy and in mindset between doing mitzvahs and studying Torah. Doing mitzvahs requires a sense of subjugation, a sense of nullification, a sense of giving yourself over to Hashem. As a matter of fact, the word mitzvah means a commandment. Hashem commands us. Hashem tells us what to do. And we do it. Sometimes we appreciate the reason. Sometimes we appreciate the mitzvah. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we feel like, I don't understand, why do we have to do this mitzvah? Why is it like this? And I would rather do something else. It doesn't matter. The mitzvah has to get done. The mitzvah is a commandment. We are Hashem's creations. We're Hashem's nation. And we are told what to do. And again, the word mitzvah means a commandment. We make a blessing, the bracha, before doing the mitzvah. We say, thank you, Hashem, for commanding us, for telling us what to do. So whether we understand the purpose, the intent, the result of the mitzvah, or we don't understand it, and of course the wish is that we should appreciate it and should make a difference, it doesn't matter. We got to do it anyway. Torah study is different. Torah study is completely based on our understanding. If a person opens a book, a Torah book, and reads the book, you don't get credit for studying Torah unless you understand what you're studying. Everybody understands the concept of study. You showed up in class, you went to college, you went to school, and you sat through the class. You don't know what the teacher said. So do you get credit for being in class? Yeah, you get a mark attendance. You're here, but what's the point? I should make the distinction right away that this is what applies to every part of Torah study except for what we call the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh. When we're studying Tanakh, reciting the words of Tanakh, of the Torah, Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim, then you get credit for Torah study even just by saying the words of the Chumash, of the Tehillim, of the prophets. You get credit because those words themselves are very specific. Those words themselves have specific energy patterns that were put into them by the prophets who wrote them, whether it's the prophets of David HaMelech, King David in Tehillim, or it's Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe who wrote the Chumash, wrote a specific energy patterns. So you can access and bring down those energy patterns, even if you don't understand it, as long as it's part of what's called Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, scripture. But that's not the entirety of Torah study. Obviously, Torah study is the rest. You open up a book that's not Tanakh and you read it and you don't understand it, you don't get credit. Obviously, Hashem will give reward. Hashem will give credit for the effort and all those wonderful things. But again, it's like a person who wanted to eat matzah, made a lot of efforts to get the matzah and bake the matzah. And then what happens is, all of a sudden, you can't find your matzah. The house burns down. I don't know what happens. You can't show up. You're sick. Can't eat matzah. Yeah, Hashem will give you credit for all the effort. It's clearly not the same as doing the mitzvah. The same is true of Torah study. You get credit. I don't want to make it sound you don't get credit for the effort. You do. But to fulfill the mitzvah of Torah study, you have to understand. Torah study is the part of our relationship with Hashem that is not based on simply being subservient, simply doing. Torah study is based on our understanding. And the Torah, when it talks about Torah study in this week's Parsha, in the first paragraph of the Shema, it says, Vishinantam levanecha. And the word vishinantam is a very interesting word. It does not appear pretty much anywhere else in the Chumash, except in this case. There is the word to teach and to study is lilmod, lilamed. That's the Hebrew word for teaching. And that appears multiple times in the Torah. But the word vishinantam, Rashi has to explain to us what it means. And Rashi tells us vishinanta means to review the concept so many times and to spend so much effort and energy on whatever concept you're learning that if anybody asks you any question, you're able to answer the question right away. In other words, vishinanta means clarity. Vishinanta means to have the concept in a sharp way, in a clear way, in an unequivocal way, in a way that not only do you understand it, but you can also explain it. And that becomes the test, really, for when do you understand something. If you can explain it to somebody else, then you understand it. If you can't explain it, you don't really understand it. You can repeat the words, which is a wonderful thing and a great thing and an amazing thing if you spend time and you just have the concept in your head. But if you don't really understand it again, you haven't fulfilled the complete mitzvah of Torah study. So then the question becomes, the Rebbe explains, if Torah study is all about my understanding, well, let's say I take a look at the concept and I think it should be a little different, not the way the sages have presented it, not the way it seems to be explained from the text. I think it should be different. If it's my understanding, Hashem, you say, Hashem, you want me to understand? Well, I understand differently. Torah says that you're supposed to live your life a certain way. The Torah says relationships have a certain thing. Torah says this is what your priorities are supposed to be. I understand differently. So maybe, look, that doesn't mean I'm not going to act the right way, because after all, I do mitzvahs. After all, I am subservient. After all, I recognize mitzvahs are commands. But I have questions. I don't understand why I should have to be this way. And then I'm kicking and I'm screaming and I'm reluctant. Or maybe the concept, I'm arguing with somebody else, arguing with the sages. Famous line is, why is it my fault that I was born 1,000 years after Rashi? Rashi understood it a certain way. I understand it a different way. So this is what the arrogant person says. So therefore, the Rebbe explains to us that the concept and the mitzvah of Torah study is given to us with the language in the envelope of teaching children and teaching our own children. And the Rebbe explains we have to remain children throughout our life. Just the way a child accepts the concepts that the teacher teaches, sometimes understanding, sometimes not, but accepts them. If this is the way it is, fine, I accept the concept. And when I get older, the famous expression that teachers used to tell their kids all the time, their students and parents used to tell their kids, you don't understand why you have to put on a jacket. You don't have to understand why you have to go to sleep early. You don't understand why you have to do your homework. When you get older, you'll understand. And unfortunately, we're too afraid to tell this to our children. Today we say, if you don't understand, fine, I don't want to do anything. You don't understand, don't do it. But that's not the Torah way. The Torah way is that we tell our children, here, my tata led, my mama led, this is the way it is. Here is the concept. If you don't understand why it has to be that way, well, you'll get older. And the Rebbe explains that that's the way we need to approach Torah study also. Yes, understand it to the nth degree, to the limits of human capacity. But do not approach Torah with your preconceived notion. Approach Torah as a true scientist would approach science. No preconceived notions. I want to know what's in the book. I want to know what Hashem wants. I want to know what Hashem's way of looking at the world is, what Hashem's way of explaining to us what our life is all about and what the concept is all about. And that's what I will take away. That will be my takeaway. Not that I'm approaching the book to see, does it validate my preconceived notions? And if it doesn't, I'm going to change it, etc. So we have to approach Torah, the Rebbe tells us, as a child, and therefore it says, Vishinam v'lebanecha, teach your children. Start with this attitude towards Torah that I want to know what Hashem wants from me. I'm a child. I'm in first grade. When I get older, I hope I'll understand everything. And if I don't, I'm still a child. And that attitude has to remain with us throughout our lifetime as we grow in understanding. The hope and the wish that we wish ourselves is that our understanding should grow according to Hashem's understanding. And then we will have a seamless connection with our Creator. And then, as the Altareb explains in Tanya, we've spoken this many times, then the relationship with Hashem deepens, becomes stronger through our Torah study. Not, God forbid, the opposite, that we begin to question, why does God want this? Why does God say that? How, what kind of God is this anyway? The relationship has to be exactly the opposite. Hashem, let me understand what you want from me, and let me try to stretch my understanding to appreciate why it is that you want that I should be doing that. So this is today's Torah portion of Aschanan. We have in today's Torah portion also another beautiful mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of doing that which is good and that which is beneficial for another person if you are able to do so and it doesn't harm you. So in today's Torah portion, moving on to a next very brief subject, in today's Torah portion, we also talk about this idea that if you can do a favor for somebody and that favor benefits the other person, but it does not inconvenience you. We're not talking about a favor where you have to go out of your way. You know, you don't always have to go out of your way. But you're doing something that absolutely doesn't inconvenience you, but it does benefit the other person. The example that's given is, if you're selling a piece of property, and the piece of property is going to be for sale. You're not looking to keep it for yourself or your family. Somebody comes over to you who is a neighbor, and they tell the neighbor, I want the right, they tell you, the seller, I want the right of first refusal. Whatever anybody on the street will offer you, whatever anybody from the street, in other words, from the public will offer you, I'm going to absolutely match, both in amount of sale price, terms of sale price, if it's cash, if it's no questions, if it's no, whatever it is, time of closing, whatever anybody, I just want the right of first refusal. And you tell the person, no, I don't want to give it to you. The Torah says that's not right. You lose nothing. That person gains because he's able now to have another piece of property next to his current piece of property, which helps you in different ways. And you lose nothing. You should not act that way. The Torah tells us that when Moshe came up to heaven, the Midrash tells us, the angels had a complaint. And the complaint the angels had was, how could you give the Torah away to the Jewish people? They said to Hashem, we are the neighbors. We are the angels who are in heaven. The Torah is in heaven. Moshe, the human, is coming to take the Torah and bring it down to the humans who are not in heaven, obviously. You have to ask us first, Hashem, if we want to accept the Torah. And if we say no, then give it away. But we want the Torah. We don't want the Torah to go down to earth. The argument the angels had was, humans are not capable of studying, of understanding on the level that we angels understand. According to Torah, angels are very, very much more advanced than us in understanding. They're, of course, not capable in keeping. Humans have a Yetzirah. So Hashem turned to Moshe, Medrash says, and says, Moshe, you're the advocate for the Jews. What do you say about this complaint? This is a legal complaint. In the Torah, it says that I have to ask the neighbor first. And I, Hashem, I will abide by what the Torah says. This is my Torah too. So Moshe says to the angels, you guys cannot fully appreciate Torah. You think you're going to keep the Torah. You think you're the best guardians of Torah, but you can't live up to Torah's expectations. Because the Torah was not given to angels. The Torah Hashem intended to give to humans in order that humans should use the power of Torah to elevate themselves to a level that they were not on previously, to rise, to have greater self-control through the mitzvahs and understanding through the Torah. You angels, for you, it's static. You guys stay in one place. And therefore, this is the takeaway, another beautiful takeaway from this week's Torah portion, the Medrash on this week's Torah portion. If we feel that we're studying, and as I previously said, if you don't have proper and full understanding, you don't get a whole credit, and you don't. That's the whole point. The point is to start from a baseline, whatever the baseline is, and then to slowly build ourselves up, to start like a child, and then to grow through first grade, second grade. The point is not to enter in high school. The point is not to enter on a college level, on a graduate level, on a professorship level. The whole point of Torah, and that was the conversation with Moshe and the angels, is to be able to climb the rungs like a ladder, to go higher and higher, something the angels cannot do because they are static. They have great appreciation. They may be the greatest professors, but they are static. They don't rise in their appreciation. They don't rise in their, whatever Hashem created them, that's the way they are, which is wonderful, amazing. But we humans have the ability to develop. And therefore, the beautiful message from this week's Torah portion is that Hashem gave us lots of trials and tribulations, big yetzahara, evil inclination, lots of distractions. Even if you don't have an evil inclination, even if you're a person who, for whatever reason, is not tempted by anything in the world, still, you got distractions. You have to eat, drink, sleep, go to work, take care of your family, a whole bunch of things. Hashem gave us all kinds of opportunities to be able to mess up and not do what we're doing. But Hashem said at the same time, I'm giving you Torah, just get on the ladder, climb the rungs, step by step. You can start as a child, that's totally fine. Go at your pace, that's totally fine. Recognize always that the purpose of Torah is elevating yourself through Hashem's message, not, God forbid, the opposite, bringing Torah down to yourself because you don't get the message. That's not the way it is. Approach Torah like a true scientist, no preconceived notions, wanting to understand what is Hashem's will from us, what does Hashem want from us, how does Hashem's mind work, what does God want from us, plain and simple. And that is the power that Torah gives us, and it keeps us, protects us, elevates us, and makes us the special nation that we are. So I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. We should have this power. We should have the power to reach, to elevate ourselves, the power to elevate our children, the power to always remain children in this regard, and the power, which is a real power, to always want to go higher, never to be happy, never to be not happy, but not satisfied, not content with the level that you're on. Whatever you know, you want to know more. You want to do more. You want to be more. And Hashem will give us, we want it, Hashem will give us that ability, and Hashem will allow us to reach those great, great levels. So again, Shabbat Shalom.